Now it should be on, testing.
We test it again. Is it okay now?
Try it again.
I will try it again and see how it...
Little bit more.
Okay, how do you think now?
Your normal tones. Just talk for a minute.
Hi, how you doing, Ann?
I'm doing great, Tian.
Good.
Would you just say, I am Tian Nguyen?
I am Tian Nguyen. That good?
That sounds good. Okay. Okay, so this is Tian Nguyen, and he is going to talk to us about... let's start with your childhood. Let's tell us where you were born and who your parents were and what they did for a living, and a little bit about your home.
I am Tien Nguyen. I was born in 1950 in South Vietnam in the city called Saigon. My father, who was a South Army personnel, so he moved around a lot in South Vietnam. We moved from state to state. And my...
I didn't get what you said. An Army, what is that?
Can we redo it?
Yeah, I'm just gonna... That's okay.
Yeah. He was an officer in the Army.
Oh, an officer in the Army. Okay.
In the Army.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So my family moved around a lot because you know the army life, right? They moved from another station to another station. In my childhood, I moved around a lot. And finally, we go back to Saigon. And my dad stayed over until he died in 1966. And my mom started her own business to feed the family. And she did really good in the business.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had only one sister who would die. When she was really, really young, around 7 years old, she died.
So you were an only child?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So when I graduated from high school in Vietnam in 1968, that time the war really started, really, really heavy war between the communists from North and the South Army.
What evidence of war did you see in Saigon?
Yeah, we see a lot because, like I said, in 1968, we had a Tet Offensive from the North Vietnamese Army.
Did that hit Saigon?
Yeah, that hit Saigon. And they hit my house, too. Yeah.
So your house was bombed?
No, it not bombed, but the fighting between the North Vietnamese, North Army, and the South Army, and the American people who come to help us to fight with the communists.
Were you in the service then, or were you living at home?
I live in at home.
Okay. Mm.
I not go to the army at that time yet.
Okay. How old were you when that hit?
18 years.
18.
Yeah.
So did you see people being shot? Did you? What?
Yeah. The picture now is still in my mind. It's at around 5 a.m. early in the morning, and one of the car that carried whole family. I think the jeep. That formed army and moved across really fast in front of my house. And people who stay around the tree shot them. And the car stopped behind the tree. And around 7 p.m., I looked out and I saw the whole family in that car. The wife, the husband, and two small children get shot in front of my eye. And the thing that stayed in my mind until now is the children who lay down underneath his mother. So that really stuck me. It stuck me until now.
So the mother tried to shield the children with her body?
Exactly.
Yeah. When I say something like that, say, yes, she did whatever. So
okay.
Let's try that. So
mm-hmm.
The mother did what?
Yeah. I saw her lay on the top of the child, try to protect the child, but she didn't make it.
So all of them were killed?
All of them were killed at that time. I didn't know when they shot, but around 7, when I see everything clear, I saw the whole family. Yeah. And that get killed from the North Vietnamese Army. I know it's the war, people kill people, but you cannot stay away from the picture of the mother tried to protect the child, and they got killed because of that.
So how soon after that did you go into the army?
About 3 months after that. I joined the army.
Did seeing that, those people killed, did that kind of firm your decision to go to the army and to fight?
That a little bit. But I know in our country at that time, the war really, really increased in really, really high level. And if the people like me did not join the army, we will fail, and the communists will took it over. We understand that. So, but like you said, I agree. That one of the reason that pushed me to the army.
Okay. So you went into the army, and how long were you in? What did you do in the army, and how long were you in?
I in the army almost 7 years. Around, yeah. Because I go to the army in 68, and Saigon formed in 1975. Yeah.
And what did you do in the army?
I would train in South Army for 9 months before they send me out to go to the what they call the Army 5th Division, and after that they transfer me around.
Now, did you work with American soldiers?
Yeah, we do, because every South Vietnamese held the advisor from the American people. They come to help us, and they go with us. Well, when we go to fight the communist, or when we go to outside, we do get help from the advisor American. Yeah.
Did you make friends with any?
Yeah, I have a couple of friends, and we talk. And at that time, because the army lie, you know, all of the army people, we are really close friends. Yeah.
Even though you don't speak the same language?
Yeah, it broken English. I learned a little bit from when I was in high school, and when I talk with them, that the English is broken English. But we understand together. Yeah.
Can you remember one particular American that you got to know?
Yeah, I remember I had a couple. I don't remember exactly what his last name because time is too long. But I know I have one. I see model of Thai, that John Beringer or something like that, but I don't remember exactly his last name.
What was he like?
He tall, he big, and he fun, yeah. And he really hate the heart in Vietnam, so he made fun of that all the time about the heart in Vietnam. You know. He went to Vietnam twice.
Oh, so yeah. He was a career-type soldier then?
Huh? Yes, uh-huh.
So that's great that you got to know some American people, so that when you came over here, you had some idea of what we were like.
Yes, yeah. Not exactly clear idea what look like, but I know and I understand a little bit of culture of American, how people treat people and what need to be done. Because the Asian culture, Vietnamese culture, and American culture, some are completely different.
It's true. Mm. They are different. So you... Saigon fell, and then what happened to soldiers right after Saigon fell? I mean, you knew the North Vietnamese were coming, mm-hmm. and you were in Saigon when it fell?
Yeah, outside of Saigon, but yeah.
So what was that like? I mean, were there bombs? Was there shooting? Were civilians killed, or what was that like?
In 1975, we had a fight between the South Army and the North Army. But I still remember now, we don't have a really big fight. We have a couple big fights in Ba Mê Thuột and in Long Khanh. I think that's some big fight. Otherwise, it's a really small fight between. But the South Army, they fought back because all the leaders, all the people, in high rank in army, they drop out. They run out of way, I think.
Hang on just a second. I have to take this clock down because I can hear it ticking. Yeah. If you can believe that. So I have to move it. Stupid thing. That light picks up so much. It's so surprising. It's so small. But it picks up every tiny little sound, which is good in mm-hmm. a way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good, but...
Myself, when the high-ranking officer than me, they drop, I don't know what to do. And the people below me, they don't know what to do, too. So we just run, we just run, and we trapped. I remember in the late of April, I mean about 27 or 28, nobody controlled, nobody gave us the order what to do.
So it was just chaos.
Yeah.
Did you have a uniform on?
Yeah, I do have a lot of soldier under my command held, they held the on too, and they held the gun and they held everything, but we don't have any order what to do. And finally, we talk together, we let go home, we drop everything, and we go home.
So did you take off your uniforms then?
Yeah, at that time, in April, 30th of April, that mean everything fall apart. At that time, the president of South Vietnam, General Nguyen Văn Minh, he give up everything. So he give an order, we have to surrender. That's why we drop everything. And at that time, I still remember now, we just took off our uniform, we drop our gun, and we walk like dead people.
You must have been devastated.
Yeah, and we don't know what to do at that time. Only thing in my mind, we lose the war. We lost it. And now we will lost everything. And I don't know what next after that. Only thing I know in my mind, get home.
Now, at that time, you were married.
At that time, I'm not married yet. I ran and I get married about 2 days later after that.
After the fall of Saigon,
Yeah.
you went home and got married, huh?
Yeah, because the Mary already ran it before, but because the war increased so much, so I cannot go home. Yeah, I should be home at that time, about 2 weeks before the wedding, but because of that time, I cannot. The my commander won't let me go home.
I see.
So, exactly, we don't have a wedding. We don't have really wedding. Just the family get together, and we do a lot of stuff. But between family to family.
But I remember the pictures that
Yeah.
your wife looked very beautiful.
We hope we have better one. But at that time, because everything is so scared, so we just try what we need to do at that time.
So you decided you're going to get married, and then what, did you know what you were going to do? You were going to work, or what did you plan?
I don't have any plan at that time. Because we still worry what they're going to do to us. We don't know yet. We so worry about that. And we just stay home. And for the first 10 days, nothing happened. But after that, they call us, go to the office, and they told us we just go to learn the new system, learn what we did is wrong. Now you need to change it and to build new life for the new country. And they said only for 10 days. And we believe that. You know,
Now, we
everybody's.
mean soldiers.
This, yeah. The officer is different from the soldier.
Were you an officer?
Yeah. I was an officer. So I had to go to I don't remember what they call at that time, but like you go to the school side, the campus, something like that. And you learn for 10 days. And after that, you go home and you build your new life and continue to contribute to the country. And we believe that. And we say, okay, we lost the war. What can we do now? So let's go to a new life. That's what we all believe that. And after we went to that campus and they talk about what we did were wrong. What we did that we follow the American. We let the American control our country and do some bad things to our people, something like that. And we have to learn about what the communist is and what the country need to be do, something like that for 10 days. And after that, they move us to the new camp, away from the city.
But I thought they said only 10 days. How did you ask them? Well, I thought you said it was only 10 days.
They told us 10 days before we get to the campus. Okay. They are now in radio, they are now in television about that news.
So did you go every day, or did you stay there for 10 days?
Stay there. They told you have to bring your clothes, your food for 10 days. And we think, okay, 10 days, not much. So you bring a little bit and a little bit food, and you hope you... Before that, they called the soldiers first. The people who were in the army with low rank go to the campus, something like that, and they said 3 days. And they did exactly like 3 days. And all of that people go home. Nothing happened to them.
So just regular army soldiers went home?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's you guys.
And now it's our turn. We think that, oh, okay. They're only 3 days. We 10 days. That's it. We're so happy about that. And we believe that. That's our big mistake when we believe that.
So they took you in trucks further into the jungle or what?
Yes. They took us on the big truck over and around everything, and they moved us.
Did you get a chance to tell Kui, I'm going, they're taking me somewhere else, or did she not know?
No, she did not know. I only told her, okay, I will go for 10 days, and after 10 days, I will be home with you. That's what I told her.
I'm going to do this. It's just easier. Okay, because I can see, and you can't. Okay, so good. Okay, so Kui doesn't, she hasn't heard from you for the 10 days.
After 10 days, she didn't hear anything from me, and I cannot contact my family after that, when they move me around. They move me out to the country, but not really far, just outside the city. And after that, for a few months, I think they need to set up something. They need time before they move us to the jungle.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a trick.
Yeah. And after that, we moved to the jungle. We have to build all of the house and everything for us to live. And we have to do everything to feed us. They won't feed us on like when the first 10 days. The first 10 days, they feed us really good. They make food from some restaurant or somewhere. But after 10 days, different, completely different.
So what kind of food did you get?
And after that, we have to the food, very small amount of food, and we have to plant rice, plant all kind of food to get food to eat.
And this is not too far from Saigon, this first place?
The first place is not. And the first place, they moved us to about 15 miles from Saigon. And the area very close to Saigon, very close to Saigon. But after that, they move is farther. And some of them, I know, some of them, people I know, they move to the north.
They did move them to North Vietnam.
Yeah, a lot of high-ranking officers or high-ranking people who work in the government to the north. And some intelligent people, some of the in Buddhist people, some in army people, they move to the north because they scared of them.
Buddhists too? Monks?
Yes, the monk too, and all kind of people, leader, religion leader, had to go too.
So each time you went to a new camp, you had to again build your housing and places to stay and so forth, or were they built for you the second time?
The first few years, we had to build ourselves. And after that, some camp, when we move in, they already build. For some different group, they already have, and we just move in. But in the first few years, every camp we go, we have to build.
And tell me what a day was like.
The day over there, every day, almost the same day. Early in the morning, they have the bell to get us wake up. And we have to get out of the house. They clock it outside. They close and they put the clock outside, they lock it inside.
And so they locked you in your
in the
barracks?
The barrack, yeah. Every barrack, we have about, I think about 60 people in one barrack. And they lock it at night. And in the morning, they open it and let it out and count in every head to make sure nobody escape at night.
Uh-huh. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That's an eagle. We have some eagles that hang out around here. We have a bird again, Tim. Can you believe it? We do. We have a bird again. I can hear it. Let's see.
Oh, look like water or something.
Okay. Yeah, you can hear that, but not. It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. So so you get up at about what time in the morning?
Usually about 6 o'clock in the morning. We get out, clean up ourselves a little bit, and get some food from the kitchen. We had one people go to the kitchen to take food, come back to earth, and divide for everybody to share to the food.
What kind of food?
Usually potato.
Sorry, potato.
Potato and some I don't know how to. I know we have here, but I don't remember the name.
Corn.
Corn and something else. Depend on day, but mostly potato.
Mostly potato, huh?
Yeah.
Just white potato or sweet potato?
Sometimes sweet, sometimes white.
White, which has no nutritional value at all.
No.
Okay. And what to drink?
To drink it, the hot water. They cook down in the kitchen, and we just carry back and to share to all the people. Every people get one. Gigo, you know the gigo?
Gigo?
Uh-huh. The container, small container.
Okay,
we
container.
Call you
a geeko. Okay, yeah. Garbage in, garbage out. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then, now it's about 7 o'clock, and you,
yeah,
now what?
And on them, they ring the bell again, and you go on the big play in the middle of the camp, and every one light up to your group, and we call every single group, get out to work. And you have to work by labor work. That means you have to go out in jungle, you cut wood, or you plant food or something like that. You work until noon, and you go back to the camp.
When you were working, did they watch you?
Yes. They will have two officers follow you, every group. One that control the group, and another one have a gun to control people. Nobody can get out of the area, the position. And if you want to talk to them, you have to stand away from them 5 meters.
5 meters away.
5 meters away. And you had to stand up and talk with them. Man.
Could you talk to each other?
We can talk to it when we work. When we work, we can talk to it together.
Okay. So you go for lunch, and what is lunch usually?
Lunch is usually one bowl of rice. And you have one small bowl of soup. They call it soup, but only the vegetable and water and salt. They put it together.
Mm-hmm. And then you would work from one to when?
Until five. And we go back after we get lunch. And we had to go back to the group again, light up again, and they call the name, and you go out to work again until 5 p.m. You get back, and before you get to the camp, you go to the... Usually the camp has the river or something next to that, so you can clean up yourself.
Before. So you would clean yourself in the river?
Yes, before you get back to the camp and get food again and eat it again, another bowl of rice. And around 6 p.m., they put you back into the barrack and they lock outside. And you stay inside and you can do stuff by yourself, talking, do thing, everything, clean up, do sew or something. And at 9 p.m., everybody had to go to sleep. They turn off the light.
So you're still wearing the clothes that you had taken for the 10-day what you thought was going to be 10 days, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you're wearing your own clothes.
Own clothes. And when they give us the prison clothes, different color, and they have the number on, and so you can use. But you cannot use that for labor work because they will wear it out right away. So we just have that when you stay on the line. And when you get out of camp, you take it out and you put on something else.
So you put on your old clothes?
Own clothes.
So you used your own clothes for 7 years you were in the camp?
No. Because in the first 2 years, we cannot contact our family. We had nothing. They not allowed to do that. But after the first, after 2 years, and they allow us to send the letter to our family, to tell our family where we were, how we doing. That's all you can say. You cannot say anything bad about that. You say, okay, you live good, now you learn something good, and you try to be a better person, you try to be a good person, and you will be home soon. That's how the letter can go. If you say something different, the letter won't go to your family. And after the first time they let us send the letter to our family, and they allow the family member come to the camp to visit us and to give us food and clothes and medicine, whatever you can bring to. But not a lot. They allow. I remember the first time, and about 2 or 5 kilograms, that the maximum you can bring in.
Oh, not very much.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So for those 2 years, Kui and your mother, what was your mother's name?
My mother is Tram.
Tram?
Yeah.
So they didn't know whether you were alive or dead?
No, nobody know.
So 2 years go by, then they get a letter from you?
Yes, that's correct. After 2 years, they get a first letter from me and know where I am at that time.
So then were they allowed to come at that 2 year period? Were they allowed, they were allowed to come to the camp?
Yeah, they were allowed to come to the camp every 2 months or 3 months. And if you're doing good, you didn't violate any policy of the camp, you can go. If you like you do something, they say, okay, you violate the policy of the camp, they cut it. They won't let your family to see you 6 months, 3 months, or whatever they think it.
And when they came to visit, would you be able to go off with them by yourself? Or
no. Where every time we have family member come in, they will have one officer bring.
Oh, wait just a minute. There's the train. We gotta wait for that. Here, take a drink of some tea. It's nice and cold.
Thank you.
I put a little sugar in it. I hope it's okay. Okay, Mr. Train.
Right there.
Yeah, oh, look at that. There's a train on the TV, yeah. That's in at Banff in Canada. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are fun. They just go all day like this. I get to choose. Mm-hmm. Every day I get to choose a new one. Mm-hmm. And then they add it to all the ones that I have. It's mm-hmm. pretty neat. Okay, well, let's try this again. Let's see, where are we? So Kui and your mom come, and now Kui, in the meantime, has had a baby.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. That you've never seen.
I never seen my baby. And
Okay. Here, have a grape.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're really good. These are black grapes, and they're really good. We're waiting for the train. Aren't they good?
I feel good.
Still going.
Beautiful.
That's in New York City. And that's Oregon.
Where is it? Lincoln?
Boardman State Park. I think it's Southern Oregon. And that's my planet, Saturn. Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful planet. Mm-hmm. And that's the Milky Way. Gee, train, haven't you said enough? Nope, it's still going. Okay. That's Nepal.
Mm.
Himalayas. Okay.
In the first 2 years, my family didn't know where I am. And I didn't know I had a daughter either.
Did you even know that Kui was pregnant?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know my wife pregnant at that time when I go to the camp. I didn't know. Because we just lived together in about 10 days or something after we married.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do that again because you could hear the train. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to start again.
Okay.
Okay, so when you left, you did not know that Kui was going to have a baby.
When I left, we just get married about 10 days. That's why I didn't know my wife get pregnant at that time when I went to the camp. And during the first 2 years, we didn't have any contact. So I didn't know I had the daughter until my wife and my mom went to the camp to see me and let me know. But at that time, my daughter was so teeny and so small, so my wife didn't bring it to the camp. But I saw the picture.
So they brought pictures at least?
Yeah.
Weren't you just delighted to hear that you had a baby?
Yeah, I'm so happy. And when I went back to the camp after the visit, I tell everybody, hey, I have my daughter. I have a daughter. I didn't know for 2 years.
So you were happy to see them?
Yes.
But you must have been terribly sad when they left.
I did not sleep for about at least 4 or 5 days. Because I still try to hold them or something, you know. I just don't want to separate them again. Yeah. That's what in my mind. That's why I cannot sleep. Every night, I think about that. And I think, what happened next? You know, when I come home? And what I do at home? How can I survive? That all kind of question come up in my mind.
How was Kui surviving? Did she have a job?
She did not have the job. But my mom, like I said it from the beginning, she's really good business woman. So she make a lot of money. And she hiding the money. And our family live on that one. And that's why she have the money go bring food to the camp. But something happened to my mom after that. Because all the people who have money at that time, the communists, they want to take it away. Like our house. They come to our house and they say, because this is a big house, my mom worked for the government and make money from people, you know, now she should pay it back. They will take the house away, but they don't say they take it away. They want my mom give the house to them. So they do something else. My mom said, no, I worked the whole of my life to build my house. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't give any house to anybody. This is my house. They say, okay, fine, and they put her in jail.
They did?
They did.
How old was she at this point?
At that time, I think she was born in 1920, and at that time, it's 78 or something. That means
so she's in her 50s, huh?
Yeah. And after 4 months in jail, she gave up. She said, okay, I signed everything. Let me go home. I cannot stay here anymore. So she signed the paper, and they let her out, and they took the house, you know. The house really expensive now in Vietnam.
Have you been back to Vietnam?
I went back one time.
Did you see the house?
I come back to the house. I saw the house. I stand in front of the house. I look at the house and I say, is it my house? But not anymore.
What is it now?
I think it was for the kindergarten children.
So it's a school?
That's a small school. Not really the school, but small school for kindergarten kids.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So you're in, we're back in the camp here, and you've gotten to about between 6 and 9. You just are with the men in your barracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you make some friends there?
Yeah, we have some friends over there. Because, you know, at that time, we don't have family anymore. We just have people around you. And have the same thing like you. Same thinking, same making, same day, every day. So we make some really good friends. Because you live or die with your friend. Nobody around you. No family member around you. No mother, father, or wife, or brother, sister, anything. Only your friend. So we have picked some friends very close, and we share everything together. And sometimes some friends, they can do anything for you to save your life, something like that. It happened in the camp.
Really? How? Can you give me an example?
Like myself, okay. When I was a couple of times was sick, really sick. And I do have a friend who worked now in how do you call
it? Infirmary.
Infirmary. And they report to the officer, I need to go over there. If not, I will die. So I go over there. And over there, you know, it's better than, you don't have to go to work the first. You have more food to eat the second. That's really important in a camp.
Food?
Yeah, food. So I went over there for 1 week, and I get back to normal. But they still report, I'm so sick, I cannot go back to. They want to keep me more over there. And by doing that, they really endangered. Because if they find out, the officer find out, that person will go to special, they put people over there 24 hours. And
punishment?
Some kind of punishment.
A special room?
Uh-huh, special room.
What, you called it something when we were talking before, the dark room or something?
Yeah, the dark room, yeah. You don't see anything. And the more important, they have to go back to work. They cannot stay in infirmity. That means they don't have luxury life in the prison life.
Okay, medicine. So if you work in the infirmary, it's a really good job.
Yeah, the really good job. You don't have to do labor work, and you have more food, and you have easy life. That's really important over there.
So that guy sort of jeopardized his the possibility of his staying there,
yeah,
by letting you stay in the infirmary longer than you mm-hmm. maybe needed to, mm-hmm. but it got you well.
Yeah. And I have a couple of friends, you know. I work in one group, don't have any food to eat. But they work another group, like they can make vegetable, they can make do some of it, and they hire every day to bring back to the camp to feed me. You know, that by doing that, they gamble thing. They will lose everything.
If they're caught bringing
they're
you
caught,
food.
Yeah, but only friend can do it to you. So sometimes when you have the family member come to bring food to you, food and medicine to you, you share with them. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever help someone else who was in trouble?
Yeah, we have to help together in trouble, try to survive. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really bad, one of my best friends in the camp, when he get out, back to Saigon, and he died.
He was the one, I think you told me, worked in the kitchen?
Yes. In the kitchen.
What was his name?
His name is Kung.
Yeah, and he was your good friend.
Yeah, he was my best friend. He feed me all the time. That one of the reason I still alive.
Yes, because Kui told us that when you got off the plane, she hardly knew you. You were so thin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd had some time with your mom by then, so you
yeah.
probably gained some weight.
Yeah, when I get out of the camp. A lot of people didn't recognize me because I'm so skinny.
Do you know how much you weighed?
I think when I get out of the camp, I weigh about 75 pounds, something like that. And I stayed 6 months before I came from the country in Vietnam. And after that, I spent another year in Indonesia, Galang camp, refugee camp. But when I get here, I weigh only about 110 or something. I remember that.
So you're there for 7 years. You move from one camp to another?
Yes, I move, let's say, I think 1, 2, 3 camp.
And one day, what happens?
You don't know really much about moving because they keep a secret. They don't want us to know about that. So sometimes you may hear the rumor. They talk about that, but you don't know exactly. And sometimes you don't know anything. And at midnight or early in the morning, they just call you. They go open your barrack and you know what, something wrong. Something happened, you know. Because if they open at night or early in the morning, that's something going on. And they call you or you can hear all of the truck coming. And you know, okay, we're moving.
So after 7 years, they come into your barracks or they call your name, or how did you know you were leaving?
After about 3-4 years, they start to let people go home. I do remember the first way of to let people go home is the people who have technology or you have the good education like a doctor, engineer, or some people have technique to go, because they need that people to run the company, to do all kind of stuff. So they let them go first. And after they let, at that turn, and every year they let some people go home, some people go home, some people go home. And you never know when it's your turn. You don't know. And suddenly one day they call your name, stay home. And if they call your name, stay home, two reasons. First, you do something wrong. You're in trouble. The second, your family member come to see you. The third, you can go home. You know? And very, very few cases, special case, they will move you.
Now, before you left, did you ever see Christy? Did you see your daughter?
No, I did not. I did not see my...
They didn't bring her to the camp?
No, because I don't want to bring her to the camp. And because the camp is far away from Saigon, so I don't want the young baby go grandfather. And when you go from, like my mom and Kui from my house, they can take the bus, go to the province where they came in. But from outside, you have to walk about 40 miles, 30 miles before you get to the camp in the jungle. And not like just like in the United States, so the young children cannot go.
It would be too hard for a little
too
kid.
Hard for a little kid. Yeah.
So you
and they have to carry food and everything too. So it's really tough to go to see us.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yes. The camp in the jungle, and we don't have any car and anything go to there except for the police officer.
I guess I was thinking they took people in trucks or something, but no way.
No, you have to do by your own. And the bus, the transportation bus, they won't go over there. They just go on the highway only, and they drop you there. And you have to hire some people, help you, show you where to go, and you have to walk.
Oh my goodness!
Walk at least a couple hours, at least, before you get to the camp.
Now, after 4 years, did you say that you told Kui to go to get out of Vietnam?
Yes, I told her, try to get out. Don't stay here, because I know everything really come not really good for us if we stay. And Kui said no, she didn't want to go because she want to wait for me. She said, "What? How about you?" I said, "Now, if you wait here, both of us we will die. You better you and Christine go, because that's the best for us now." That's what I told her.
So she obeyed you.
I told her in 1979 or something like that. And she didn't get out until 1981. At that time, her whole family tried to get out, and she followed them.
And what about your mom?
My mom still stay over there. But like I said before, she didn't have any house to live. She had to move around. But she...
Where did she live?
She lived in friend house or relative house. She just moved around. And because, like I said before, she still has some money to feed herself and to go to the camp to feed me. So that's what she still survive around.
So you got out. And tell me about the day you learned that you were going to leave. I mean, it was just a regular day, right?
Just a regular day. But before that, about 2 or 3 days, we had the rumor about, okay, now, in this week, they will let some people go home. But we don't know who is it. Everybody hope they will call your name, right? And every morning you wait and you hope. And nobody come to call and you just go to work. And I still remember that day they call and they call about 40 people name. And my name is about half of them, they call my name. That's why you stay home and you will go. You go home.
And how did you feel when you heard your name?
When they call my name, I don't feel my legs stay with me. I see it till I fly. That's how I feel at that time. I fly.
You're just so happy.
Yeah, that's so happy. But only thing at that time, and that before that, my wife and my daughter already get out of the country. And I didn't know it for at least 7 months, 6 months, because nobody come to see me. My mom didn't come to see me, and my wife didn't come to see me. And I think in my mind, they already kept. That only thing happened to them, I know for sure, because my mom already gave up everything. My wife didn't have anything, so I don't think I'm going to do anything to them. Only thing they will escape. And finally, after around 7 months, and my mom come to the camp and told me, you want your daughter or your escape. And I was so happy they kept, but I still worry a little bit. I don't know where they end up, and I don't know I can see them again. And after that 2 months, my mom come again and say, they are in America. I said, and she bring a picture too, because we send a picture back to her, and she bring the picture. And I bring the picture to the camp, and at that night, I look at the picture all the time. I don't have any light, so I have to go to the window and look at the moonlight through the window. We have the
bars,
the bar around, but I just look at the picture, and in my mind, the habit really happy for them, but I have really sad because I never see them again. You don't know when you get out. You don't know you can still survive to get out or not, because people die around me every day. So, and if you get out, how can you get to America?
It must have seemed impossible.
Yeah, at that time, impossible for me. I think that only can happen in my dream. That's why I said it half of myself. I just look at my jersey, never see you guys again. And I cry.
I believe you.
Yeah.
So you're on your way in a truck. Did they take you in trucks back to Saigon?
No, they did not. They give us the paper to release you, and they give us a little bit money, and you go by yourself.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. You get out of the gate, you're on your own.
So you had to walk back to Saigon. All right. How long was a trip was that?
That took me almost 3 days to get back to Saigon, almost 3 days.
And you didn't know where your mom was?
I know, because she come to the camp to tell me, and I come to my relative house to ask for her. And when I get back to the city, that's a different story. I cannot go to work because nobody hire you when they know you come back from re-education camp and you have no skill to survive. I just go to army after I finished high school. So
You went to the army?
Yeah.
After so, high school?
Yes. So I go to college for 1 year only. So I don't have any skill to survive in a city, to do stuff like other people. Another thing is, nobody hire you. And the third thing is, your life is really difficult. You have to go to the police station where you live to report what you did for the past week and what you plan to do to the next week. And after that, in 2 weeks, you have to come back again to report.
What if you had a job and you couldn't get off work to go do that? Or would they make you do that if you had a job, if you'd gotten one?
Doesn't matter what you do, you have to go over there. If you cannot go in the working day, you can go on weekend day.
How long does that take? I mean, to go there and do what they want, say what they want, and then how long the process? Is that an hour, 2 hours?
Yeah, and maximum an hour. If you don't have any trouble. Like I said, they have your own report, right? And now you can make your report. They compare. Okay, I see something not right here. Like what you say, you do this. This is that. Why you did what you have to explain to them. That the process take longer because of that. If you have the copy in your mind, you report exactly what you said before and continue to do it. You okay?
Oh my goodness! So how long was it? After you got home that you realized you wanted to try to escape?
I tried to escape right away. I told my mom I cannot live here. Because the first thing, I was in South Army and they call me Ngụy Quân. And nobody can hire you. You don't have your citizenship. You don't have your identification. You don't have anything. You have only small paper. Get out from the camp. That's all you have. So you're really hard to get a job that way. And they want me to go to New Economic Zone. That means...
They want you to go what?
They call New Economic Zone.
New Economic Job?
Economic Zone. Zone, the area. The area.
Oh, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. They send a lot of people go to that side to do labor work, to plan to do something by your own. You cannot live in a city.
Oh,
they're not allowed.
They don't want you to stay in Saigon.
They don't want it. If you get a job in Saigon, you can stay. If you don't have a job, you have to go to that zone.
Okay. I got to change my fingers going to sleep here. okay, so.
And the second reason is because my family in the United States. I want to get out. I want to see them again. And the third thing is I want my freedom back. I cannot live with that lie. I cannot live without job. I have to go to report all the time. I cannot go anywhere I want. They not allow you to do it. So I want my life back. I want my family back. I want my freedom back. That's why I have to escape. I tried to escape right away after I get home 1 month.
So tell me about the first time you tried to escape.
The first time I tried to escape, you know, at that time they had a lot of boat people who go on the sea or walk to Cambodia or Thailand and get out. And I have a couple of friends who do the boat thing stuff. And the first one, we pay the money so we can get onto the boat. I remember that day, they took us go down to Vũng Tàu. That means another city nearby the sea. And they hired us in one house. And they wait until the dark.
Wait until it's dark?
Wait until it's dark so we can get into the small boat before you get to the big boat.
Oh, so there's a big boat out in the ocean?
No. The boat in the river, but you cannot go to the boat. Everybody, you have to, I call big boat, but it's not really big, you know, small one. But you have to divide group people, go to really small one and before you get to the main one.
I see.
So we wait until 8 p.m. before we start people to take us, and I heard the gunshot. And I heard people run. And the landlord of the house said, quickly, follow me. And they took us and another girl and another person, three person in that house, go back to his backyard and run to the press outside. And we hide over there until 4 a.m. And the landlord come to us say, you guys need to go back to Saigon. Only people get caught, you know. 50 people get caught and three people like myself and another person, another man and another girl get out because we got lucky. We got high on a different side. And 50 and other people high on one side and all of them get caught.
The gunshots, does that mean that some of those people were killed?
No. I didn't know some people were killed because the landlord told me they just get caught. They didn't say anybody got
killed. But you heard gunshots.
I heard gunshots. I heard people because people run, so they shot. But the landlord didn't say anybody got killed. That's the first time I get out, but didn't make it. And I lost money. I cannot get my money back. And the second thing, at this time, my mom paid for me too. I don't have any money to pay for that. We get into the boat. We get out to the sea for 1 day and one night. But the storm is so big. The storm is up and down. And our boat is so small. And the leader of the group told us, now we have to go back. We still have the chance. Even we get caught, we still have the chance to do it again. If we continue to go, nobody has any chance to survive. And all we will die. And what do you guys want to do? So a lot of people, okay, we go back. And they said, if you go back, what do you plan? That's what people ask. And the leader said, we just drop people and everybody will run. I said, oh no, I don't want to go back to the camp again. Because how do you run with that, son? So finally he said, we come back for 7 hours and we wait outside the dock. And we get inside and he said, now, if we get caught, we get caught the whole boat. If we can escape, we get the whole boat. So everybody hide underneath the
dock.
The dock.
Okay. Where the boat was?
Yeah. And they will go back to where they get out. Around, I think, 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., something like that. And we're lucky we didn't get caught. So he get took back to the house and he dropped us. And 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., they took us, go to the highway and get the bus back to Saigon.
You went back to Saigon?
Went back to Saigon again.
Did you think by this time I'm never going to get out?
No. I told you, doesn't matter how much they caught me, how much I felt, I do it again. And a lot of people feel the same way. I know a lot of people, they try to get 5 times, 10 times. I know that. And some people get caught too. They put in the camp too. But then they're out, they're kept. At that time, some funny thing they tell about boat people. They say about people get out of the country. They say, if the electric boat know how to walk, they walk too. They don't want to stay.
Say it again.
The pole, right? Electric pole. Uh-huh. If the electric pole know how to walk, it walk too.
It would leave too?
It would leave too. We'll escape too. Okay. That if you see the Vietnamese people, the boat people, they will tell you that. Yeah. Because nobody wants to stay. Yeah. People don't want to stay, not because economic, but because of freedom. I tell you one example. You live in your area, right? Three houses live next together, have responsibility together. Like your house, my house, and Kui house. Let's say example. Mm-hmm. I have to know what you're doing, who come to your house, what happened to your family. Same time, I have to know Kui house too. And you have to know what happened to my family, my house, and Kui house too.
And how often would they ask you?
They check it every week. And if something happened to you, how? Like some people come to your house, staying for the whole day or something. But I did not report to the police officer. I'm in trouble.
Because you didn't tell?
Because I didn't tell. I cover up something, you know. And if you want to go to visit your daughter, you have to ask the permission of the local police officer. If they allow, they sign it. If he doesn't like it, he say no, you cannot go. And even he allow you to go, you have to go to Nicole Hound and report to that police officer over there. You come and you stay for how long? For what reason? If they don't like it, they send you back. That's why everybody want to go.
It's not like that now, though?
And not now. Now it's different.
It's better?
Now a lot better. Now you can go anywhere in the country you want. You can go anywhere now. Because now time is changing. The community know if they continue to do that, the first thing, they kill themselves. The economic kill themselves. The freedom of people they want will kill them. Same thing like in Europe or in Russia. That's why they have to change, to survive. They let people do things, do business, and go anything they want. And life getting better now because of that, because of freedom. Before that, doesn't matter you work hard or you lazy, you got the same thing. Nobody want to work.
When you went back to visit Vietnam, did you think, well, now maybe I would like to come back here and live?
No, I didn't think it that way. Because the community you control. That's what I don't want. The reason I come back to Vietnam, because of the family problem, I have something that need to fix. My dad, who died in 1966, they not allow him to help in that. We had to move him. That's why I had to go back.
You had to move his body?
Move his body.
From one cemetery to
another one, yeah. So that's why I go back. I see it different from the time I left the country, a lot different. But the difference is not like they said. They still have people, have money to go to do something. But in 80 million people, they have about maximum is a million people can have that life. But another 79 people, when I go to the country, when I move my dead body to, they feel so poor.
So poor?
Yeah, so poor. And they don't change like the way they think. And you see around Asia, Southeast Asia too, another country like Thailand, like Singapore, like before, but that's South Vietnam, same level. We not below them. And now, even you change couple steps, but another country they change 20 steps or at least 10 steps before you. So you still behind. Vietnam now changing fast, growing fast, but still behind.
Yeah. Would you ever go back, do you think, now?
I didn't think I'd go back now. If the communist
lost
off, or yeah, or left, I will go back.
Really? You would go back?
I will go back. I want you stay here, or Chrissy stay here for...
You need to explain who Yui is.
Oh, Yui is my son. Because here, my son can learn things and can be the person with all kind of stuff here, the knowledge he can learn here. And if he want, he can go back to Vietnam, or he want to stay here, except to him.
Is he interested in going back to Vietnam? Has he been at all?
He, when I went back to Vietnam, I took him over there so he can see life over there.
Did you take Christy too?
No, not yet. Christy, not yet. Because at that time, we tried to get my dead body, dude, so we don't want to go to people. I just took Yui, my son, go.
And what did Yui think of it?
He see the real thing. Before that, he heard all the time about we talk in Vietnam. We talk about communist. We talk about it with our family member, with our friend. But he didn't see it. He just hear it, but he didn't have any real picture. And when I took over there, and I took him to the countryside, and he played with the children over there, and he will see over there they don't have nothing. They have to make toy by themselves. Yeah, they have to play with the butterfly, they have to play with the fly dragon or something like that. They don't have anything like here. And he sees a little bit more. He understands a little bit more what we're talking about.
So the third escape,
it, we have the same group leader who totally took my money. And he told me that, and all the owner people too, okay, just go home. And in 2 weeks, we will do it again. And I'm so happy about that because the last time I lost my money, I cannot get it back. And you cannot go to police and, hey, that guy took my money.
I was trying to escape.
Yeah. So at this time, I really happy when he said that. And we go back home in Saigon. But after 2 weeks, I didn't hear anything from him. So I think, okay, what's going on? I need to find out. So finally, I find out because after we took the bus back to Saigon, they still have the boat here, and they try to go somewhere else to hide the boat, and they get caught. And because they didn't really clean up the stuff left on the boat, so when the police they looking for check, they check something, and they know this boat tried to bring people escape from the country. That's why they took boat. So the group leader, he didn't have boat anymore. He had to build it up again. It take a little bit more time.
So he built another boat?
He bought another one. He bought another one. And he takes some new people in to get money. But he called me back. He good guy. And he put his children on that boat too. Last time he went with us. This time he didn't went with us. He just put his children. Because he didn't have enough money the way he won like last time, you know. He had to spend more boat. So I think he planned to do it another time, and he will go. And I don't know after that. But when his children go with us, go to refugee camp, and after that they went to America. So the third time, they call it again. And we do the same thing like we did before. And this time we went 3 days and 4 nights on the sea, and finally we got to Indonesia.
You didn't see any pirates?
No, we did. We did not get. We see some of the big ship from Japan and from another country, but they just ignored.
They ignored you.
They didn't know. We saw them and we run to them and they run away. Yeah, and we understand that because the government of some country doesn't want them to take it. They cannot take that. Yeah. But luckily, we went direct to Indonesia like we planned. And we stay in a small island over there for a couple months before the Haksia, that means High Refugee Commission, something like that, took us to go to Galang in Indonesia.
To a camp in
to the camp, yeah. And that time when I get to over there, I think we have about 12,000 people in the camp already. Yeah, and I have to wait over there to do a paperwork and study a little bit orientation about how to lie in the United States and English too. So I spent almost 13 months before I get to the United States in 1985.
So finally you get on the plane?
Finally, that's another really, really thing I never forget. When I came to United first in June, I remember June 13, 1955,
and because
85. I remember because of the plan late in schedule, so I have to stay in San Francisco for 2 days. And I don't have a lot of money. I have about a couple of dollars. But they send us to the hotel and they send food to us. We just stay until the another scheduled flight from San Francisco to Poland. And I call Kui. And I told her I'm here. And she said she will go down. I said, no, just I will come back in 1 day. Don't spend your time here. And I say, I want to talk to Christy. And I heard her voice on the phone. But she didn't know what to say. She just say, yes, I'm here. Yes, that's all she say. I still remember now. That was it. She didn't know who I am. Even Kui already told her who I am. And she didn't know what to say because she never say anything to me. That's what I think. And I just told her, I'm your daddy, I'm here, I'll be with you, I will take care of you, I love you so much, something like that. She just said, yeah, 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 that's all she said. And the next day, I get in the flight and get to Poland. And when I get out of the terminal and I saw Kui, one of her younger brother, and her niece, and Christy, the people come to see me. And I was so happy at that time. And I looked at Christy, and she looked at me. She didn't say anything. And Kui pushed her to me, go to your daddy. And I kneel down, and I hold her, and I hug her. That's the first time. That memory, I never forget. And she hugged me. She didn't say anything, but she hugged me. She hugged me, and she tapped on my back a couple of times. And I told her, you're so beautiful. I love you so much. That's all I can say at that time. I cannot say anything else. That's all I can say at that time.
So your dream had come true?
Yeah, finally. I didn't think I can make it that far. I did not think, because a lot of my friends who didn't make it, didn't make out of the camp, or even they went back to their normal life, their family fall apart. Some of family, they try to survive. So they have to move on with their life. They cannot wait for their husband or something. So they didn't make it. Or even some of my friends who make the United States same way. They're different. But I still got queer. I still got family. So in my life, sometimes in my life, I go down to the bottom. I lost everything. And sometimes I get back everything. I think I'm so lucky about that.
Well, you sure are in good shape now.
Yeah. So
So here you are in the United States.
Yeah.
You have zero money, zero skills, because you've been in a re-education camp all the time. You went into the Army when you were 18 years old.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so what did you think was going to happen to you in America?
When I come here, I know for myself, because I have a lot of time when I were in a camp to think about that. When I were in a camp, I go to learn English. I go to learn some training stuff. I want to prepare for myself a little bit. Even I know it won't have much. I have to start over in here. And when I got here, Kui told me, at that time she just graduated from Clackamas Community College in accounting. And she told me, okay, now you go to school, I go to work. But I told her, I know I need to go to school, I know that. If I want our family and my life getting better, I need to have education. But you already take care of family for a long time when I'm not home. And you had to try to fight and survive here and raise Christy here. I had to do my part too. And you know, in Asian country, in Vietnamese culture, the men have to do it. The men cannot live with somebody else, take care of them. So I went to school, I went to college at that time in the daytime, and go to work in the nighttime.
One of your first jobs here was at my house,
do you remember? Yes, the first one when I come here, that the first money I get it from the new line here is from you. Yeah. I still remember I paid the house for you, and beside the money, you give me the TV too.
I forgot that.
I still remember the TV. At that time, we had nothing. When I come here, Kui and my daughter live with my sister-in-law, and we move out after 2 weeks I'm here. And when we move out to the apartment, we had nothing. We had only only two mattresses on the floor. That's all. And my sister-in-law gave Kui a couple of kitchen stuff. And one of my friend, Kui friend, not my friend, let's see, borrow the table and four chair for the dining table. That's all we have. We had nothing.
Well, this is America.
Yeah.
And you're a rich guy.
So when you give me the TV, That all we can have in our family.
Did that TV work very long?
I'd work for about a year or something before I buy the new one.
Yeah, that's good.
And I remember the first year when I got here, and Christy's birthday come up. I got to United in June of 85, and Christy's birthday is September 10. And I asked her, do you want to invite your friend come to here to have a party? She said no. I a little bit surprised because the young kid they want to have a birthday, they want to have invite friend. And I asked her why not. She told me because we had nothing in our apartment. I cannot say anything at the time because that's really true. She didn't want her friend coming with the empty apartment, nothing. So I told myself at that time, I will buy the house for you, Christy. And I tried really hard. And after 3 years, we bought a house.
You did, after 3 years?
After 3 years. Wow. We bought the first house in 1988.
So you got a job doing what?
I got a job doing in the kitchen. I work in a kitchen. And I look like I have three jobs. The first is go to school. The second, I work study at school. From two, I go to school from 7 o'clock until noon. And I work from noon to 2 workday at school. I work in a kitchen from 2 to 11 p.m.
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And How long did you do that?
I do that for 3 years, minimum wage.
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage. And that's not enough. That's why I have, in the summertime, I have to took the janitor in Red Lion too. To work too.
So you worked 4 jobs? No. Well, 3 jobs, yeah.
2 jobs.
You were still doing work study at school?
Wow. It's really hard. I don't know I can do it now because I'm too old. But at that time, I know for sure I have to do it if I want my life better. And I know it not take long. If I try hard for a few years, when I have the degree, when I have a better job, that's not like do it for the rest of my life. I know that, you know. And another thing, lucky, I have a lot of good friends, some like you, a lot of good friends, help me some way or another way. And like at school, I have a lot of good teachers that help me a lot, you know. I never forget them.
We were inspired by you. I'm going to tell you that. When you came, you were very thin, and at that time, you'd had a lot of dental problems, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you were in some pain with that.
Yeah.
But you didn't complain once, and Kui just happened to tell me. Mm-hmm. He's just been having a terrible time with his mouth. And you were in my house, and Tim, I just was in awe of what you had been through. And you always were smiling. You always seemed happy. You never seemed down. You were always just kind of balanced and just, I was just in awe of you. I couldn't believe what you had been through. And I didn't know as much as you're telling me now. I just had to guess. But I knew if you'd been in a re-education camp that you had had it hard and that you hadn't been able to meet your child all those years. I just thought, this man is very special. He's very special. And I have to tell you, I'm honored to know you. And I'm honored to say that you're my friend.
Thank you, Anne.
Yeah.
For myself, I think, like I said before, I went through a lot of stuff, go to bottom, up and down. But Vietnamese people, a lot of people, they went the same thing like me. I remember when I went to school here, a lot of American friends, they know about my story. Say, you have a good story, why don't you write it? Write down. I say, for me, first thing is a sad story. Second thing is because you guys didn't have to spend terrible time like that and you've seen a good story. But a lot of Vietnamese people, a million Vietnamese people, have the same thing like
that. Oh, they have many stories. Yeah, yeah. I've heard some. I talked to Chuck Pham the other day, and his mother was shot when he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
He was away. Thank God he wasn't there, but he was at school.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to the school and said, your mother's been killed. And for what? No.
Yeah.
You know, just they came in and shot her because she seemed to be doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
And they at least, the one good thing he was able to tell me was that they told him where the body was so that he could go and get it.
Oh.
And I thought, and you think that's good? You know, it was just so awful anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know their stories and I know they're hard, but I don't know many people that are my friends, you know, that went through that. And I'm glad you're telling us because I think that we need to know this. This is a part of our history now.
Mm-hmm.
Your history is part of our history.
Yeah.
And so it's important that people know it and hear it. Okay, so you get your degree in graphics?
Yeah, and I got my first job down in Portland downtown, and I worked over there for 1 year. And after that, I looking for a better job, and I got another job with the ODOT State Department.
So what is ODOT? Oregon Department of
Transportation.
Transportation, duh. Okay.
So now I'm state worker and my life's okay now, and I really know I cannot make it if I were in Vietnam. It's still in Vietnam. And I really, really think the United States can give us back our life. And I think American people, especially my friend, and he, an American friend, they so helpful and friendly and help me a lot to get back to my feet or get my family back to normal life.
Now, your son is how old?
He will be 17 in 21st of August. He will be 17.
So you at least got to be here for that birth, didn't you?
Yeah.
And he's going to graduate and do what?
Now he want to go to college.
To Oregon State?
Oregon State and learn in, I think in health, he held in his mind right now. He want to be the pharmacist, you know. So this summer he went to college to took some course to prepare for that.
It's very difficult now. They've made it very hard.